Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to those who are joining us online this morning as well. Today, as we continue to celebrate the resurrection life of Jesus and what it means for us, we are looking at the encounter between the resurrected Jesus and his disciple Thomas, seeing how Jesus transforms skeptical, doubting hearts, stubbornly holding on to our own ability to understand, into lives that are full of awe and wonder, that bear witness to the power and love of one who is beyond all human understanding. Now, honestly, I've always thought that poor Thomas got a bum rap being labeled Doubting Thomas, because the truth is, when Jesus was arrested and crucified, all of the disciples were plunged into doubt. They were shocked, horrified, devastated. All of their hopes for what Jesus would do, their faith in who he is and who he'd called them to be, were all suddenly lost in confusion and doubt and fear. And none of them knew what to do with the stories that they were starting to hear about Jesus' tomb being empty and that some had seen Jesus alive. But then, when all the disciples were together, all but Thomas, in John 20, Jesus appeared to them. And he gave them his peace, and he showed them the wounds on his hands and his side, and he had reignited their hope that their story together was not over, but only just beginning. Having seen Jesus, they believed. And when Thomas got back from wherever it was he'd been, he found that the mood in the room was radically different than when he'd left. But can you imagine being Thomas in that moment? Hearing all of your friends had encountered the living Jesus, had seen him with their own eyes, all of them except you. All you had were their stories of their experiences. How would you feel? Even beyond how difficult it would be to hope that this was actually true, now there was also hurt, wondering why you'd been left out, if maybe Jesus came for everyone except you. Now, I think Thomas's bold words actually contain a lot of fear and hurt. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Did you notice he didn't say, I cannot believe? He said, I will not. There's something in Thomas that didn't want to believe on someone else's story. He was longing to have his own story with the risen Jesus, to be able to reach out and touch him too. And in order to believe, what Thomas felt he needed was to see and to touch Jesus' scars. What Thomas needed was not some flawless, unmarked, triumphant divine being he didn't recognize. He needed to see the Jesus he knew, the Jesus who knew him and loved him, the Jesus he had walked with these past 3 years. Only the Jesus he knew had been on that cross, who had shared the wounds of his humanity and death and overcome, could change everything. Only in seeing those scars could Thomas begin to trust this really was the Lord whose power could overcome his very real human wounds too. The Lord who could overcome even death for him. I think Thomas's words here are the cry of the human heart, not just to believe there is a God, that there is a Savior, but to know that this Savior is for us. Because as much as we all need to know, did Jesus really rise from the dead and change everything? Yes. And as much as we believe, yes, he did rise, because we believe the stories of those who saw with their own eyes, convinced by the transformation of their lives that what they experienced is the truth. There is also something in all of us that needs to feel and experience for ourselves the answer to that question. Jesus, did you do this for me? Sometimes what we need is the human touch of the Eternal One to know that this gift is really for us. It's what Thomas needed. And knowing this, what does Jesus do? He shows up for Thomas. This is the shepherd who would leave the 99 to go find the one that's lost. And so here he comes, once again appearing, giving his peace before turning personally to Thomas to offer him what he claimed he needed. Put your hand in my side and your fingers in the mark of the nails. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus knew what Thomas needed to know, that he had never been left out of his Savior's love. And at that moment, in seeing the Jesus who loves him made whole, Thomas saw a power at work that's greater than his rational mind could comprehend, and his soul couldn't help but cry out and acknowledge the one who was right in front of him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Gentle chiding maybe for Thomas, but I think those words are really meant for us, for you and for me. Because don't we all have that same impulse? Don't we all too long to see Jesus? We want more than the stories of others. We want to see for ourselves. We want to experience him ourselves. Does that make us doubters or skeptics? I don't know. I think more like Thomas, it makes us human beings who just need the touch of the love, the touch of faith, to trust that this gift is truly for us. So what is our Savior's answer to that very human need? How is this need to be met for people today who feel lost and afraid, disappointed and wounded, who long to know that Jesus understands their hurt, that he understands what it is to be human? What about those today who are longing for the human touch of their Savior to know that this saving love is actually for them? Well, Jesus' answer in giving us the Holy Spirit is that he is giving them you. You are to be the human touch of Jesus now. The mission of our resurrected Lord has given us is that we are now to be the body of Christ on earth, we, his people. We are to be the human touch of his love that people can feel to know that this love is for them, using the powerful gift of our shared humanity. We are now the ones who are called to share our scars so others can see and know that this Lord Jesus still gives the strength to overcome. So for those who won't believe until they touch him, Jesus calls us to be his touch of faith. And it turns out, for most people who are skeptical of faith, the problem isn't that they can't believe that there is a greater power in the universe than themselves. It's that they have a really hard time believing that that power could be for them. And Jesus' way of revealing that truth to them, sometimes it does come through an otherworldly moment of power, like it did for Paul on the road to Tarsus, but most often he works through the incarnational demonstration of his love through you. Because that's what human beings were created for, what we were designed for in the first place, to live loving God and loving one another. Turns out it's a beautiful thing to be a human being. In creating human beings, God said, it is very good. And when God wanted to reveal the truth of his love to the world, the most powerful way he could show it was not in overwhelming us with his divinity from on high, but by entering into humanity to redeem human beings, to restore true humanity for us through Jesus. And when Jesus rose from the dead, that could have been the end of this human experiment. He could have brought us right from the end of this creation on to the new creation. But what God wanted in redeeming humanity through Jesus was to restore us to our holy calling to live as true human beings, reflecting God's heart to one another in ways that are uniquely, beautifully human. There's a powerful good for us to live into in the gift of humanity that he's given us. And he doesn't want us to miss out on that gift. And I was reminded of this lately from the most unexpected source, the press conference of the Artemis II mission. Now, I don't know if any of you were able to catch any of their mission to travel beyond the moon and return, to travel the farthest distance any human being has ever been from the Earth. And I have to admit that although for me, space missions are exciting, after a while, all the science-y stuff that people get excited about stops capturing my imagination, especially mostly because I don't know enough to know why it's exciting. But in this particular mission, in this crew, I experienced something that completely captivated me. It was when this crew of four had the privilege to name a crater on the moon, chance of a lifetime. And as the world was watching what these highly trained astronauts, scientific explorers, pilots and technicians, history makers, chose to honor in this moment was the memory of the wife of their commander who had passed away. In solidarity and compassion, with their arms around their commander's shoulders, this crew chose to name this bright spot on the moon, visible from Earth, to honor the impact of the life of this wife and mother whose love had touched their lives and had shaped the life of their commander. Because despite all that we can conquer and discover, build and achieve in this life, at the end of the day, what has the greatest impact on human beings will always be love. I'd expected in watching footage of this mission to be impressed by the dedication, intelligence, discipline, and hard work of these astronauts. What I didn't expect was to be so moved by their love. But that's what I experienced, and I wasn't the only one. I had to watch the return trip, and watching that capsule burn its way through the atmosphere on the return, waiting the 6 minutes that they were out of communication to see if they were okay, was excruciating. I was in middle school during the Challenger explosion, and the memory of those lives lost made every second of that waiting painful. I can't imagine how it felt to be family of those crew members. But after they got out of their charred little meteor that they'd ridden back to Earth, everyone was eager to hear their experiences, to hear what insights this otherworldly adventure had revealed to them. And in case you hadn't had a chance to see it, here are some highlights of what they shared.
No one knows what the families went through, man. This was not easy. Being 200,000 plus miles away from home, like before you launch, it feels like it's the greatest dream on Earth. And when you're out there, you just want to get back to your families and your friends. It's a special thing to be a human, and it's a special thing to be on planet Earth. Thank you.
I have not processed what we just did, and I'm afraid to start even trying. When this started on April 3rd, I wanted to thank God in public, and I want to thank God again, because even bigger than my challenge trying to describe what we went through, the gratitude of seeing what we saw, doing what we did, and being with who I was with, it's too big to just be in one body. And I wanted to thank our families for everything that he just said. So great words, great words, great words. I love you, but not just those five beautiful cocoa skin ladies right there. All of you.
A crew is people, or, you know, a group that is in it all the time, no matter what, that is stroking together every minute with the same purpose, that is willing to sacrifice silently for each other, that gives grace, that holds accountable. A crew has the same cares and the same needs, and a crew is inescapably, beautifully, dutifully linked. So when we saw Tiny Earth, people asked our crew what impressions we had. And honestly, what struck me wasn't necessarily just Earth, it was all the blackness around it. Earth was just this lifeboat hanging undisturbingly in the universe. I may have not learned, I know I haven't learned, everything that this journey has yet to teach me. But there's one new thing I know, and that is, planet Earth, you are a crew. Yeah. Thank you.
I think what I'd like to share today is maybe three of the human experiences for us. And you haven't heard us talk a lot about the science, the things we've learned, and that's because they're there, and they're incredible. But it's the human experience that is extraordinary for us. And it sounds like maybe for you too. And so I think I'll start with gratitude. And I don't think people will really ever fully comprehend how well supported and trained we were. It is almost unbelievable. All right, and as my daughter would say, I'll try and stay locked in here. Okay. The next one is joy. We have a term in our crew that we coined a long time ago, the joy train. And you saw, I think you saw, sounds like you saw a lot of joy up there. There was a lot of joy. We're not always on the joy train, this crew. There are many times we're not on the joy train. But we are committed to getting back on the joy train as soon as we can. And that is a useful life skill for any team trying to get something done. And the last one is, I need your help for this. Come on up here, guys. The last one is love. What you saw was a group of people who loved contributing, having meaningful contribution, and extracting joy out of that. And what we've been hearing is that was something special for you to witness. And the reason I had them form up here with me is because I would suggest to you that when you look up here, you're not looking at us. We are a mirror reflecting you. And if you like what you see, then just look a little deeper. This is you.
Dude, come on.
This highly trained team of astronauts was sent out to test the limits of what the human mind and spirit can do, utilizing all the intelligence and discipline of the best and brightest of Earth, and in returning from their cutting-edge mission, what was the most powerful takeaway they had to pass on to us? To we who will never travel where they traveled, to we who will never see what their eyes saw. Their message was not about what they saw out there. It was about the beauty their eyes were open to see in what we have here. The beauty of the gift we have already been given in this life that we share and in one another. Their message to all who live on this beautiful lifeboat among the lifeless void of space is that it is a special thing to be a human. It's a special thing to be on planet Earth. A heartfelt, emotional echo of the words of our Savior, who stepped into our humanity to show us by his words and his deeds that here is where the greatest gifts of this life are found. Love one another as I have loved you. How quickly we forget. On the day of the fall in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, convinced that God had been holding out on them, chose to trust instead in the deceiver, believing what would really bring them life would be to strive to be like God, to become gods ourselves. In pride, humankind tossed away the gift of the life we had been given in harmony with God and each other to pursue the glory of lesser things, starting a long, painful journey farther and farther away from life that truly is life. But the more we saw of this broken world, the more that we realized that on the very first day of creation, God had already shared with us the best this life had to offer. And we longed to be able to get back to the beginning and to find our home again in his love. But since we could not go to him, our Savior came to us. Jesus entered into humanity to open up for us a way to share in his life now and forever. I heard just today that after Commander Reed returned from the mission, the very first person he asked to speak to unpack what he'd experienced, was a chaplain. Although he had not professed faith before, Having experienced something beyond his understanding, his first impulse was to talk to a person of faith. And in his own words, when he saw the cross on the chaplain's lapel, he fell apart. What do you think he saw in that cross? As we stand with Thomas today, gazing at the Son of God, inexplicably here for us, we see our Savior who chose to bear the painful scars of the sin of all of our human strivings that so often cause us to look at the other and not see, this is you. Who bore the wounds we inflict on each other when we forget our ultimate commander meant for us on this planet Earth to be a crew. In love, the Son of God who bore these wounds for us died with them and rose to give us a new beginning so that we might be able to start again as children of God, sustained by his grace alone, that empowered by his life, eyes opened, we might not miss the beauty, the grand adventure that it is to be a human being on this earth in his love. And when we as finite, fragile human beings begin to encounter the truth of the limits of who we are, and we begin to catch a glimpse of who he truly is, our souls too are moved to acknowledge him, crying out, my Lord and my God, and we are changed. Suddenly we see the world differently. We see what actually matters for eternity, for us and for humanity. And we see why, in his resurrection, our Lord Jesus has called us, his church, to be a crew. Because where our Lord is at work, coming to understand all that we experience, all that he's done, and who he's done it with, it's all too big for just one body. Only together with our various gifts can we be the body of Christ. So he calls us to be his crew in gratitude, in joy, in love, to be rowing together for the same purpose, sacrificing silently for each other, bearing one another's burdens, giving grace, holding each other accountable, knowing that in him we are inescapably, beautifully, dutifully linked. As we live out our mission to be reflections of who he is to the world. So through us, they might come to see this is Jesus. As we as human beings live lives that bear witness to the wonder of a power and a love that is so beyond our human understanding, through the beauty of the simple human touch of faith, using the most impactful tool God has ever given humankind, love. And we see this in Acts chapter 9, in a story about a woman named Tabitha, who just lived out her witness to Jesus quietly by helping the poor, mostly widows, and sewing them clothes. And I'm convinced we would never even have known anything about her witness if it weren't for the fact that she got sick and died just when Peter was in town. And in their grief, people tearfully showed Peter all the things Tabitha had made for them. And then as Peter went to pray, the Holy Spirit moved his heart to stand and to tell her, Tabitha, get up. And the power of the resurrected Lord showed up to restore Tabitha to life. That's why we know her story. It's only because of Peter's faithfulness to listen to the Holy Spirit in prayer and act in faith in the gift he had been given in the body of Christ that we know the story of the power of her quiet witness in that same body, one that otherwise might have been overlooked, where through the simple human touches of her faith and love, many had come to trust in Jesus' love for them too. This too is witness, because we humans tend to need to feel the human touch of the eternal one for us to know that this gift is really for us. And when in the touch of faith, we as the body of Christ let our lives witness to his love, that's when hearts begin to be open to experience Jesus' presence. When having seen Jesus in us, they believe. And that is only the beginning. Because after our stories might open hearts to him, Jesus shows up for them too. He is the Lord who left the 99 to seek after the one lost sheep. Jesus wants each one to have their own story with him, so every soul encountering him might also respond, my Lord and my God. One day, I believe we will all be able to reach out and touch the scars of the wounds that he bore for us. And on that day, many who started their journey in doubt will tell the story of how their faith began because of the simple human touch of faith from a member of Jesus' crew here on earth. Sometimes what we need to believe is the human touch of the Eternal One. And Jesus does some of his best work through people like you and me because, as it turns out, it's a special thing to be a human being on planet Earth. And despite all we can conquer and discover, build and achieve, in this life, at the end of the day, what has the greatest impact on human beings will always be love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love for us, your unconquerable love. We pray today that you would help us to be the human beings that you have redeemed us to be by the touch of your love for us. We pray that you would call us to be the ones who embody your love for those who need to know that you see them, you love them, that you are for them. May they see you in us, Lord, and believe. And help us to never forget the beautiful gift of what you've given us and make our lives witnesses to that gift. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.